Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you. President Biden talking about the methane plan. This is a good step. You'll recall Leo DiCaprio and I made two movies about methane. One's called Last Hours. It's on YouTube. The other's called Ice on Fire, the ice being frozen methane, which was a feature-length movie that showed up in theaters. And this is a big deal. Methane is a very, very, very potent. It's 80 times more effective as a greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide. And we've got oil wells all over this country that are just sitting there leaking methane just constantly. And we're doing very little about it. Also, of course, Joe Manchin threw a monkey wrench in, said he's not going to be voting, or he suggested, implied that he's not going to be voting for the reconciliation bill. The progressives are pushing back. Cori Bush saying, Joe Manchin does not get to dictate the future of our country. I do not trust his assessment of what our communities need the most. I trust the parents in my district who can't get to their shift without childcare. I trust the scientists who've shown us what our future will look like if we fail to meaningfully address the climate crisis. I trust the parents and doctors crying out for comprehensive health coverage for every person in America. We can't spend the next year saying the House did its part, now it's the Senate's turn. We need the Senate to actually get this done. So, anyhow. Picking up your phone calls. Nick in Huntington, West Virginia, speaking of Joe Manchin. Hey, Nick, what's on your mind?
Yes, I've called his office today, the first time I've been able to get through all this. And I don't understand. They've cut. And one of the things they cut is teeth up here. It's ridiculous. He needs to get on board. And being his daughter, I think he's in the pocket of the pharmaceutical companies. His daughter did the EpiPen scandal. Why ain't the major media mentioning this stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. She testified before Congress that her last year's salary was $18 million. They're sitting pretty. and by teeth, you meant the dental care in Medicare that Joe Manchin objects to. Why doesn't he want people over 65 in West Virginia to have dental care? I don't understand. What's the upside for him in this?
A kickback, I guess. Don't ask me, because we need all that health care.
Yeah.
You know, it just befuddles me. We got two people holding up progress for millions of Americans, a union working American like me. I just don't understand.
Yeah, yeah, it is pretty bizarre. Nick, thanks a lot for the call. Mike in Baltimore. Hey, Mike, what's on your mind?
Hi, Tom. First, I want to say thank you so much for your initial comments. I'm a truck driver, so me being on this CB is a constant thing. Now, here's a question for you, because I think a lot of people are confused, and I'll lead up to Joe Manchin with this. Critical race theory that they keep talking about, that's not taught in any elementary school. won. Democrats have failed.
It's a law school course.
Exactly. My point with this is, does critical race theory teach systematic, or it's another type of way, form of how racism impacts today, right?
Yeah, well, it's essentially an analysis of how law has been shaped and evolved over the last 400 years, both common law and constitutional law in the United States, to favor white people.
Exactly. So now, here's where I'm going to go with this. The BIF bill, the bipartisan infrastructure bill, I'm a truck driver, as I've said. I'm on these highways. I don't see a lot of black and brown men. There are some. 90% of the people that I see on these highways are white men. This bill helps white people in rural areas. If in order for you to pass this bill, you have to help everyone else out. So when you start stripping out from the BBB bill, stuff that'll help black and brown people, isn't that a form of systematic racism?
Oh, sure. Sure. But I don't, you know, I mean, the majority of people on Medicare are white. I still don't understand why Joe Manchin doesn't want them to have their teeth fixed.
Well, what good is it to hear but not see?
Yeah.
Or see but not be able to eat.
Exactly. Exactly, Mike.
Okay.
I mean, it's like,
thank you, Tom.
Somebody's greasing somebody's palms, and the media is not talking about it. And frankly, I think this all goes back to Citizens United. But yeah, thank you, Mike. Very, very well said. Appreciate the call. Phyllis in Dallas, Texas. Hey, Phyllis, what's on your mind today?
Good morning, Tom. This is, there are African Americans who are sitting in their cars, their kitchens, and their churches who have been wondering why Donald Trump has been able to get away with killing so many people with this pandemic. It is just as if he can get away with everything, and this is one of them that he should not get away with. So please keep the pressure on, because we're listening and we're trying to make our voices known, but we can do very little. Maybe those who are in the media who continue to talk about it, as you, could help. This is my first time to call any show, but I just had to let you know that I applaud you and I thank you.
Thank you, Phyllis, and great to hear from you. Kevin in Donner's Grove, Illinois. Hey, Kevin, what's on your mind today?
No, it's Kim.
Oh, Kim, I'm
Kevin's
sorry.
My husband.
Sometimes I just glance at it. My apologies. What's up?
That's okay. I've been called worse. I think that the reason, you know how you always talk about Medicare Advantage and how much money that's taking out of Medicare?
Right.
Well, Medicare Advantage offers dental, optical, and hearing.
Oh, so that's the reason that Joe Manchin doesn't want it, because his daughter, well, maybe his daughter isn't in the insurance business, but yeah, I get what you're saying. I'm sorry.
No, but he's got to be buddies that have it. How many people have given him money for that?
Yep.
So, you know, that's my conspiracy theory. I can't prove it, but it makes a lot of sense, and whatever anything else he doesn't want to go through, like the pharma stuff.
Yeah, that makes that's got to be the answer, actually. That's the only answer that makes any sense. Well, people in West Virginia can still get dental and hearing. All they have to do is sign up with, you know, one of the big health insurance companies for Medicare Advantage scam. Yeah, perfect. Kim, I don't know why that wasn't obvious to me. It's like sometimes.
That's because you have so many things you have to do. And I was just sitting here. I'm retired, so it's like I'm just sitting here playing on my computer listening.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you nailed it. I'm certain that you nailed it.
Well, thank you.
Kim, thank you. Thank you. I'm telling you, we've got some of the best minds in the world listening to this program or watching this program. Thank you, Kim. Marilyn in Greenville, Georgia. Hey, Marilyn, what's on your mind today?
Hey, I'm doing okay. Got two things I wanted to talk to you about. One, if Trump was black, he would have been in jail by now.
Oh, yeah.
Two,
if Trump was black, he would have been in jail when he was 17 years old. He was such a bully and an ass. But anyhow, back to you, Meryl.
Okay, the second thing. I text a couple of the people in the Congress today. I said, stop doing the carrots, start using the stick. I told Pelosi that this morning. I said, stop playing with these people. Because, first of all, follow the money. Where that money's coming from. This is all crooked stuff. You know this.
Yeah.
Take the money out, corporate out of politics, and then we get something done.
Yeah, but the Supreme Court is what put that money into politics, and it's damn hard to get around the Supreme Court these days. They're the most powerful branch of government now.
Here's another thing I want to tell you. If corporations are people, why not people be corporations?
Well, I think some people become corporations, essentially. This is how most billionaires don't pay any taxes at all, as they create small corporations. The corporations launder their money, basically. You know, Jeff Bezos, for example, you know, he's sitting on $200 billion. You know how he pays himself? You know how he covers his living expenses?
No.
He borrows it. He borrows money. He goes to the bank and he borrows money at a quarter of a percent or a half a percent against his billions of dollars of stock. He'll borrow, you know, 10, 20, 30, 50 million dollars. That's his walking around money. That's what he lives on throughout the course of the year. And he pays absolutely no taxes on it because it's borrowed money. And then he gets a tax deduction for the interest on that money. He declared a total income last year of $80,000. That was it. I think he did that because he claimed he was eligible for the child tax credit. I mean, you know, this is the kind of scam. You know, so yeah, people become corporations for the purposes of taxation, and that's what's going on. Marilyn, thank you for the call. Charles in Houston, in Hamilton, Texas. Hey, Charles, what's up?
Hey, Tom. I know you're familiar with Hannah Arendt's book, The Rise of Totalitarianism.
I am.
And in that book, she says that the true constituent of the Nazi Party and the Communist Party is not the confirmed fascist or the confirmed communist, but rather the people who were so confused they could no longer tell the difference between what's right and wrong, between what's real and illusion.
Right.
So I think that's what is happening in America today. We have so many people that have lost their ability to tell the difference.
You're absolutely right.
I was sitting in a local restaurant, and there was a group of people across the room from me, and they were talking about how evil the Democrats are and about how the Democratic Party wants to destroy America. And they went on to say that Joe Biden was a fascist and a communist, and that he wants to destroy the economy and destroy democracy in America.
Yeah, they're just echoing the hate that comes out of right-wing radio. It's really a tragedy, Charles. It really and truly is. That there's an entire ecosystem, 1,500 right-wing radio stations, over 200 right-wing television stations, 3 right-wing television networks, all promoting this idea that one of the two political parties is communist, socialist, evil. It's so sad. Charles, thank you for the call. I mean, this is tearing our country apart. And they're doing it for profit, by the way. This whole, you know, hate Americans, love America, hate Americans routine that the right wing does is very profitable. Michael in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Hey, Michael, what's on your mind today?
Well, the whole conservative meme about supply chain backups. These stories come again and again and again about supply chain problems, but they never talk about manufacturing more in America. If we're going to sell it in Topeka, we ought to build it or make it in Iowa or Illinois or Michigan.
You know, I agree.
If we did that, we wouldn't have those problems.
I agree. The worst you would get is some truck driver couldn't get it across a snowstorm or something. I mean, that would, like we used to have, you know. I mean, it used to be occasionally there was a problem because of weather, but that would be it. Yeah.
Yeah. The story never mentions that. Hegemony, nope. You know, is this, we have to have more global capitalism.
And they,
yeah,
and by the way,
manufacturing,
Michael,
here in America. Yeah.
Even worse, they never mention the fact that prior to the Reagan administration, we were not, you know, when Ronald Reagan came into office in 1981, Sam Walton's Walmarts, Louise and I moved to Georgia in 1981. And they had just opened a new Walmart in, as I recall, Kennesaw. It was just up the road from us. We were living in Cobb County. It was the first Walmart in the area. And he had this giant banner. It was a giant cloth banner that was draped over the top of the whole front of the Walmart. And it said, 100% made in USA, exclamation mark.
Yeah.
That was 1981. And look at it now. And no, they never mentioned that either. They never mentioned the fact that we used to make pretty much everything in this country. It was a plan that Alexander Hamilton came up with in 1791, and it kept us in good stead all the way up until 1981. And then Reagan, you know, pulls out the old General Agreement on Tariffs and Trades, the GATT, and renegotiates it, and then writes the whole NAFTA, treaty from or trade agreement or whatever you want to call it from scratch, and hands it off to Bill Clinton to sign. I mean, it's just crazy. Michael, thank you. Amen.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Morris in Long Beach, California. Hey, Morris, what's on your mind today?
Hey, good morning, Tom. Listen, I want to talk to you about the Dinos. A Dino is a Democrat in name only.
Right.
Now, the Dinos have really put the brakes on the Build Back Better plan. They've just pretty much stripped it. But something that you said this morning that caught my attention, Pelosi and Schumer need to get together, get a select committee going, and just hammer home how the Republicans are trying to decimate democracy in this country. That's got to be the narrative. The Build Back Better thing, again, they've stripped it. The narrative is we've got to protect democracy as we know it today, and these guys are trying to tear it down. That's the only way we come out of this. The confusionists, it's called the confusionists. They're doing a great job. I was listening to some of your callers right now talk about the Democrats as the evil people. Look, if you go on YouTube and look at some of the things that they're saying and showing, I'm like, man, how you guys release stuff like this in this country? But the thing we got to do right now, Tom, to get back to what I call you about, they got to get serious about having a select committee and get you a Joe McCarthy kind of spirit, a crazy, wow man, Joe McCarthy kind of spirit, protecting and speaking up for democracy the same way they stand up for what they're talking about. I'm talking about Republicans. And that's all I want to say, Tom. I think you're right on the money with the select committee idea.
Yeah.
And thank you.
Thank you, Morris. I'm with you. I'm completely with you. And you always hit it out of the park, Morris. Thank you. Gregory in Ventura, California. Hey, Gregory, what's up?
Hey, Tom, how are you?
Good.
I have a simple question. Great. Can a state be stripped of its statehood? Meaning, if a state, you know, is there any provision in the Constitution if a state repeatedly doesn't go along with what the Fed rules are or egregious, like the thing in Texas?
You know, Gregory, I may be wrong, but I don't think so. I think that there is a provision in the Constitution for a state to remove itself. Actually, I'm not even certain of that. I know that, you know, to add a state requires, you know, there's all kinds of hoops that you have to jump through to add a state. And I don't recall the specifics of that. My recollection is it requires a referendum in the state with some sort of a large supermajority and then a supermajority in the House and Senate. But I could be off on that. It's last time it happened, I was a little kid. That was Alaska and Hawaii in the 50s.
And then Hawaii. Yeah, I remember that, too.
But
so you say once the state's a state, that's like... That's it.
But see, I don't, you know, are you thinking of like, you know, hey, get rid of Texas?
Or is there anything? Yeah, I don't know if there's anything the feds can do to states if they repeatedly, you know, disavow.
I think we need to stop the poison, Gregory. I don't think the problem is Texas or the state of Texas or even the Texas state government. I think it's the right-wing media that is enabling people like Greg Abbott and Dan Patrick to do what they're doing down there. And the legislature.
I totally agree.
You know, if we didn't have 1,500 right-wing radio stations and all these Sinclair TV stations and Fox News and OAN and Newsmax and all that, this would not be happening. This was not happening prior to the mid-90s when all this stuff came online.
I hear you.
We had a country where, you know, we had a shared understanding of what was politically real. We didn't have media out there that was literally promoting lies and fictions and things that were completely made up.
Mm-hmm.
The
caller nailed it about the blurring of illusion and reality that Trump was able to do. People are now are just like, they're walking around totally confused, and everything's turned around from what you were just saying from the day, you know.
Yeah. And it's not just Trump. It's the entire right-wing media ecosystem. It's incredible. Yeah. Gregory, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you.
Of course, Tom.
Yep. Mark in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Hey, Mark, what's up?
Hey, man, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to don't have the passion to go after Republicans, have the passion to go after Democrats.
Mark, your phone is fading in and out. Did you just say you don't know why Democrats don't have the passion to go after Republican crimes?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know why either. I mean, look at, you know, Bill Clinton, right? They went after him for, what, 6 years? Ken Starr spent $70 million along with his assistant, Brett Kavanaugh, who, by the way, showed up in that documentary. I think it's on Netflix or whatever it is about Monica. You know, it's called American Crime Story. Impeachment.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Ken Starr's got his little war room, his three or four guys who are going to get Clinton. And who's there?
Yeah.
Brett Kavanaugh is saying, oh, we need to go after him for getting a BJ. That's what we need to do. And it turned out Brett Kavanaugh authored the most salacious parts of the Starr report. But anyhow, you know, Republicans, they had no problem spending $70 million in 6 years trying to take down Bill Clinton for having sex. No problem at all. This is, you know, killing 700,000 people, or, you know, at least intentionally killing 130,000 people, if you want to use that most conservative number that Deborah Birx laid out last week on sworn testimony before Congress. And she was there. She was his COVID advisor. She was in the room through all that stuff. And she's saying, yeah, he killed 130,000 people. Why the hell isn't somebody prosecuting him? Why isn't there go ahead.
Just the recordings where he was talking to that one reporter. Just that alone should be evidence enough of him, of murder.
What are you talking about?
Blown it off like, oh, you know. You remember when he was, that book that guy wrote when COVID first started. He had that interview over the phone with Trump.
Oh, Woodward's first book?
I can't remember his name.
Where Woodward, where Trump told Woodward back in January, this thing is a killer.
Yeah.
This is way worse than the flu, but I'm not going to. What was the phrase he used?
He's just going to blow it. It's nothing.
I'm going to downplay it. Right. Because I don't want to cause a panic. Right. 700,000 dead people because he didn't want to cause a panic. Give me a friggin' break. Mark, spot on.
Evidence enough.
Yeah, I'm completely with you. Mark, thank you. That was a good one. Sharon in Chesapeake, Virginia. Hey, Sharon.
Hey, how are you? It's my first time calling in to any talk show.
Well, thank you, Sharon.
I just can't understand why we can't find any Republicans that will vote for the Build Back Better bill. I mean, none of them have a backbone? I just don't understand that. And I hate to think it's because of the color of my skin as an African-American woman born in 1963, but I think so. And from the last caller, what about Fauci? Why didn't Fauci speak up? He's sitting back there on the press show, you know, not saying a word. He knew.
Knew what?
That coronavirus was going to kill people.
Oh, he was speaking up. The one error that Anthony Fauci made, if you want to call it an error, was in the first few months in January, February, and March, there was a run on masks in the United States, and they didn't, and they literally, hospitals were running out of masks because we got them all from China. During early January, when China was having problems, Trump actually shipped millions of masks from the United States to China, and which is bizarre. And so we ran out of masks. So Fauci went on TV and said, please don't go buy masks. We need them for the hospitals. And you know, in retrospect, that was a big mistake. But that's the only thing he's ever done or said that I think was a screw up. And he walked that back a week later.
Yeah, that press conference when he was talking about drink chlorine, and he just puts
Trump.
His hand in his head. It, really? Really?
Yeah. You know, really? What Trump has done is obscene. And to your question of why not a single Republican will vote for the Build Back Better bill,
right.
It's very simple, Sharon. In 1980, with the election of Ronald Reagan, the Republican Party completely sold out to the billionaire class and the big corporations. They changed American policy. They changed our trade policy. They changed our banking policies. They changed our tax policies. They reconfigured the entire country to benefit the very rich. And that's why 5 years ago, when Reagan came into office, 65% of Americans were in the middle class. 5 years ago, it fell below 50%. It's now in the 40s. And, you know, this is pure Reaganomics. And the Republican Party is completely sold out, as are a small handful of Democrats. In this case, Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin.
Right.
I give you two sold out Democrats. But with the Republican Party, that's all they've got is you know, being racists and being sold out. That's it. And so, I think you nailed it. Sharon, thanks a lot for the call. And thanks for calling into a talk radio show. Thanks for listening to SiriusXM. Great to hear from you. Have a great day. Change starts with you. You can be calling your Democratic or Republican representatives to let them know what you think by calling 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. It'll get you right through to them. Evangelina in Rancho Palos Verdes, California. Hey, Evangelina, what's up?
Hi, Tom. I'm a first-time caller.
Well, thank you, and thanks for listening to our app. What's on your mind?
Yes. I wanted to have you reconsider translating at least your written rants or anything else that that you write in Spanish. I know that you had a caller a few weeks back that requested that your show be in Spanish, and you said that that a lot of the Latinos that listen to you do speak Spanish. I happen to be one of them. Mm-hmm. But I really feel that the word has to get out, not just in Spanish, but to translate it as many languages as you can. I imagine that your books are translated in different languages as well.
Yeah, I have books in 17 different languages, but and Spanish is one of the more common ones. But Evangeline, I would be happy to create a Hartman Report en Español website if somebody else could take responsibility for making it happen. I just don't have the bandwidth, and I don't speak Spanish. I mean, I took Spanish in elementary school for 2 years, but that was a long time ago. But, you know, do you know of any organizations or anything that might be interested in putting something like that together? Because I would gladly give my content to them.
Isn't it something that can be... there's so many apps that translate things into software that translate things in other languages. That's why I said your written stuff, because I imagine at a push of a button, you can change that to a different language.
Have you ever looked at one of those? You know, I speak German badly, and I have good friends in Germany, and they frequently send me notes in German. And when I run those through, you know, the translation programs, the main one is Google. I understand what they're saying, but all of the, it just reads terribly. I mean, you know, it needs to have a human being proofread it.
Gee.
I should advertise for somebody.
I listen to you in various forms because I live up in the hills here, and sometimes the signal doesn't come clear in the app. Mm-hmm. Or I listen to you on YouTube or KPFK, and I know that KPFK has a Spanish section in the mornings. I just wondered, because of because you're in the business of radio, and that shouldn't be something too difficult for you to reach. But I really don't know. I keep hearing. You saying how the Republican Party is using Spanish to, you know, to turn the party and gain more votes. And I understand that. And I just think that there's got to be some way that can
it's
be taken
a, it's an
care
idea,
of.
You know, the with Hartman Report, If we created a second one that was in Spanish, it does generate a small amount of revenue. I mean, if we could get any kind of toehold in the Spanish community, it's possible that we could be able to afford to pay somebody to do translations. Let me discuss it with Louise and Nigel, my wife and our business partner in all this, Nigel Peacock, and see. You've given me an idea here, Evangeline. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. Thank you. Gar in Decatur, Georgia. Hey, Gar, what's on your mind?
How you doing, Tom?
Good.
Enjoying your show.
Thank you.
I want to make it simple. We have the largest industry in the world in the USA, and that's called politics. Mm-hmm. That's a $1 trillion industry. And all Manchin, Sinema, and the rest of them are trying to do is get a piece of that $1 trillion. I wish you would have. Last time I called you, I mentioned this to you. Was Stephanie Kelton and the deficit myth.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a brilliant
when they
book.
Talk about taxing the rich, automatically they're telling you, we ain't passing nothing. We ain't passing nothing. That's what they're telling you. And you don't need the rich people to pay taxes according to the deficit myth. Because all the deficit is money that you got in your pocket, I got in my pocket, and Americans got in their pocket. I wish you would bring Stephanie Kelton on, and she'll break it down.
Yeah.
And you said you had her on your show once before.
Oh, she's been on this show probably a dozen times. It's been about a year, though, since she's been on. So we'll get her back on. Yeah.
And I enjoy Richard Wolff, too. He has a good line, too. The sickness is in the system.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that. And I read your book, Screwed, too. I read that one.
Well, thank you.
And that's a good one, too.
Yeah.
And I tell you another good history to study. The DuPonts. The history of the DuPonts.
Oh, the history of the DuPonts. Yeah, one of the DuPonts was apparently behind the attempt to overthrow Roosevelt.
Well, see, they made their money in gunpowder.
Yeah. And
that's an interesting story.
Yeah.
Hey, Tom, keep up the good work.
Okay, I'll do it, Gar.
It's frustrating.
Yeah.
But keep the faith.
Okay, thank you very much. Nancy in Elkhart, Indiana. Hey, Nancy, what's on your mind today?
Hello. I have a question for you, Tom. I have been getting emails from a group labeling themselves the Justice Democrats, mm-hmm. and they're comparing themselves to the corporate Democrats. I've been reading about it. It sounds very much like, you know, what true Justice Democrats would be.
Yeah.
And they've even given themselves, can you explain? They've given themselves a little history.
My recollection is that the Justice Democrats grew out of Cenk Uygur's Young Turks program, and that he used to be affiliated with them. They split off and became their own independent organization. Now, first of all, let me give you the caveat. I'm not part of this, and so everything I'm telling you is as an observer from the outside, and so I may be missing a lot of nuance, but this is my understanding. And then they split off from Cenk and kind of went on their own. And, you know, basically what they do is support and publicize and promote progressive Democrats. And, I got no beef with them. God bless them. I think they're doing great work.
Well, that's kind of what I was hoping, because they actually they mention, AOC. They mention her, but they give the three people, they call them the, I don't know if they say starters, but they mention Alexander Roja, somebody Trent, and I don't know the other person's name, and they said that they actually had started as backers of Bernie.
Yeah.
Would that make
sense? Well, I think the Justice Department or Justice Democrats may well have come out of the first Bernie primary back in 2016.
Yeah, right. That's what they were explaining.
Yeah. That would make sense.
And then, of course, as you say, like people like Manchin, and the others.
Not a Justice Democrat.
They
don't,
right. I mean, they would sound like corporate Democrats.
Yeah, there
anyway.
You go. There you go.
Okay,
Nancy, I
got
to move along,
sure.
But yeah, I tip my hat to them.
Thank you, and
all the other groups. And my favorite, of course, is Progressive Democrats of America. PDAmerica.org is their website. But there's a bunch of great groups out there. Move On, Indivisible. Indivisible.org is probably the biggest and one of the very best that you can hook up with. I get their emails. I'm a member. There's a bunch of them out there. Don in Chicago. Hey, Don, what's on your mind today?
Hey, it seems like every election, what pretty much happens, which makes us Democrats look bad, is we have one or two really important precincts that get their votes in late. And, you know, it always seems to kind of turn the tide, and it leaves suspicion hanging out there. So I don't know what the problem is, why we can't fix that.
So here's what's going on, in my opinion. No, number one, you've got, because of COVID, you've got Democrats who are using real media, you know, CNN, MSNBC, New York Times, Washington Post. They actually know what's going on with COVID. They're reluctant to show up at a polling place. They'd rather vote by mail. And so the mail-in votes are heavily Democratic, and the mail-in votes tend to be counted late. And that's why in 2020 you saw these big swings toward Democrats toward the end of the day and early the next morning.
I got to move along, but thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Jeff in Turlock, California. Hey, Jeff, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. You caught me in the kitchen. Had you on.
It's all good.
You know, I've been listening to you for a long time, and I love your show, man. Keep it up.
Thank you.
And my thought is, but hear about this mansion. You know, he's rejecting a lot of the things he wants to pull out of this package. And I can't figure out, you know, he's pulling it out not just against Democrats or Republicans, it's both. Who would vote for a guy that he's telling you don't need these things? Why would I vote for him again? I mean, I put the same thing, like Josh Harder's my rep here in the Turlock area, and I like the guy, he's doing a great job. Knocked out Denham, finally. And but anyway, I wouldn't vote if I needed those services that the Biden administration is trying to get to us. Who on earth would vote for your representative again when he's telling you don't need them?
Yeah, I think that one of two things is happening. Either both Manchin and Sinema are looking at becoming Republicans, or neither one of them cares about getting reelected. And, you know, Manchin's 74 years old. He's worth millions and millions of dollars. His daughter is worth millions of dollars. His son is worth millions of dollars. His family is richer than sin. And you know, he's retirement age. He's a decade past retirement age, in fact. So and his term still goes for another 4.5 years. So he's probably figuring, screw him.
Yeah, I could see him being ready to retire. He's old enough. Yeah. But if you're a Democrat, you're a Democrat. Why would you oppose these things so much? I mean,
because somebody's putting money in your back pocket.
Yeah, everything traces to money. My dad used to tell me when I was a little kid, Tom, he goes, and I didn't understand him, you know, when I was a little boy, 4, 5, 6, 8 years old. He said, Jeff, the root to all evil was money. Yeah. And as I got older, naturally, I understood what he was telling me.
Yeah, it's right there
and
in the
other
Bible.
Thing,
love of money is the root of all evil.
Yeah, it's going to destroy us, it looks like. But the other thing is, like programs like yours, Rachel Maddow, Lawrence O'Donnell, those type of we listen to them pretty regular. Mm-hmm. And how do you, and my wife and I said, we tried to talk. We go, if people would listen to those programs like yours and the others, they might, if you heard them enough, they might start saying, well, wait a minute. But I don't know how you would get them. I've got brothers, I've got brother-in-laws, sister-in-laws that are Trumpers. And mm-hmm. But I don't know. I can't even talk to them, let alone make them listen to a program like yours. How would you ever get them to listen to one? Knock them out and put the headphones on them?
I don't know the dynamics in your family, Jeff. I do know that callers have told me that they have challenged Trump humpers in their families to just watch my show for 1 week or even just one day or watch Rachel Maddow's show for a day or three, or other shows. I mean, Randy Rhodes, Amy Goodman. I mean, there's a bunch of good programming out there. And come back and prove to me that anything these people said is a lie. And
hey, good luck. Good luck on that, Tom.
Yeah.
Get them to watch it or listen to it.
Yeah, it's a challenge, Jeff. It really is. People are very comfortable inside their bubbles. Jeff, I got to run, but thank you for the call. It's the Tom Hartman Program. Taking back the mainstream media 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. Defending America from the weapons of mass deception. Tom Hartman here with you. Jennifer in Detroit, Michigan, my old stomping grounds. Hey, Jennifer, what's on your mind?
Hey, Tom, how are you? It's been a really great show today.
Thank you.
FDR really, he wasn't really at the forefront of like Jim Crow, for example, at that time.
You're right. Yeah, and the Democratic, that's because the Democratic Party was the home for America's racists. The Southern Democrats, the Dixiecrats, were the epicenter of racial hatred in the United States and in Congress. And, LBJ blew that up in 64 and 65 and it completely reorganized American politics. But, yeah, that's true. I'm sorry,
Jim. I was going to say, you just took the words out of my mouth, right? Because when LBJ did, it completely changed our two racial parties.
Yep.
I mean, I know it wasn't thought at the time, but it completely changed it. And so I just wanted to ask you, do you think we can do both? Can we fight for the policies that help all Americans and still fight, focus on things that make us an equal, not white, straight, male, supremacy society? Because I'm looking at, I'm a black female, and I have been truthfully shocked at how today's world, and I go back and think about the stories that, my grandparents and stuff would share with me, how I'm seeing the same things that, you could ask me when I was a teenager or something, that was things that happened in the past. And I'll tell you, my fear is that we will fight so much to maintain culture norms that we will risk our whole democracy.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you, what did you think?
I think that,
how do we beat Democrats and
FDR and Harry Truman also, they I forget which one of them integrated the army, but one of them did, and it was a big deal, a BFD. And FDR worked toward incremental integration, but he knew that if he stepped on that particular landmine, it would blow up big in his face with the Southern Democrats. LBJ just took them on. And, the backlash was Ronald Reagan and 40 years of right-wing, dog whistle policy. Actually, the backlash was Richard Nixon in 68 getting elected with the Southern strategy, Lee Atwater and all that stuff. I think, though, that, and this is my hopeful moment, Jennifer, although I realize that it seems like we're in a very kind of weird time. But America is changing. We're changing demographically, but there's also a younger generation coming up who are, in particular, looking at climate and realizing that all the stories that they've been told, including the stories about race, have been just evil lies. And they're embracing a multiracial, pluralistic, multigender democracy in the United States. And I'm very optimistic about the future. I think what we're looking at are the last gasps. And a lot of it's being led by boomers. I mean, look at the average age of the people who raided the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. Those are people in their 50s, 60s, and 70s, by and large. I think that it's dying out. And I'm very hopeful, Jennifer. Don't give up hope. I got to run, but thank you for the call. Ziggy in Oneonta, New York. Hey, Ziggy, what's up?
Hey, Tom. I think I know why the news media won't cover the corruption. And it's really quite simple. It's that they are part of the bribe system. Whenever you see an ad on TV that from, like, let's say, Shell Oil, they're not trying to sell us oil. They're buying influence over the media. When you see the pharmaceutical companies have an ad, and then they give you a dozen reasons why this is going to make you sick, they're buying influence over the media. And that's why they won't report on those things.
And the Medicare Advantage sales pitches. I mean, they're all selling product. Ziggy just vanished off the phone. The one that I think absolutely meets your criteria, Ziggy, was back, and I called this out on the air numerous times, back in the early 2000s, back in the first couple of years we were doing our show, when the defense contractors were, you know, like hogs at the trough with the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. Several defense contractors were running ads on television telling us how wonderful they were. You know, here's our planes, here's our technology. And I'm like, wait a minute, who's going to buy an F-15 or an F-35? I don't know anybody who could afford that. And, you know, it was clearly just a way of softening their image and, you know, enhancing that and all that kind of thing. So, but yeah, I think that the influence part is a substantial side effect, a substantial benefit for them. I'm with you. Cheryl in Milwaukee, Oregon. Hey, Cheryl, what's on your mind?
Well, I want to talk about trillions of dollars. Mainly the problem is that it sounds like so much money. But the revenue department, last year that it brought money in, brought in $3.5 trillion.
Right.
That's 1 year.
Right.
Okay, our budget for that same year had $1.5 trillion over the amount of money that was brought in.
Right. Thus the deficit.
That is the deficit.
Right.
Is the $1.5 trillion.
Right. So what's your point?
My point is that when you hear $1 trillion, it sounds like a lot of money, but it's out of context.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in high, I'm about your age. When I was in college, $1 billion sounded like a lot of money.
Well, it was back then.
It still is.
The dollar's worth about half of what it was then.
In context.
Yeah.
These guys who are fighting about the $1.5 million to buy really good things for people spend 2 to 3 times that much every year on all of the things that they buy.
Yeah, and it's a small share of GDP. Government expenses as a share of gross domestic product are lower in the United States, I'm pretty sure, than any other developed country in the world. Canada, we spend about 20% of our GDP as government expense. Canada, I believe it's closer to 30-35%. Many of the European countries, certainly the Scandinavian countries, it's over 40%, because the government does so many more, you know, good things for everybody, like providing free college education and free health care. And it doesn't create crises for them. It doesn't create problems for them. In fact, what it does, Japan, again, you know, it's well over 30%. What it does is it creates a good floor for people to have a solid middle class, and it creates the soil in which businesses can root themselves, including small and local businesses, and do well. Excellent point, Cheryl. Thank you very much for that. Carol in Manassas, Pennsylvania. Hey, Carol, what's on your mind today?
Well, a lot, but mostly I want to talk about the system we have. To me, the 5 or 6 years of influence of Trump managed to literally tear this system down. So that now you have a situation where one man, Joe Manchin, can take away what 330 million people would like to have. That's a broken system. And I don't see how it became... I don't think our founding fathers ever allowed for the fact that one day a psychopathic, malignant narcissist would take over this country in such a way and then refuse the transfer of, peaceful transfer of power and just take us down. I mean, he broke our system. I believe that. Yep. That he's the worst thing that ever happened to this country.
Certainly in our lifetimes, yes, I agree. I think you know, the Civil War is a pretty tough time, but you know, outside of that, yeah, I am completely with you, Carol. And the fact that, I mean, here's a guy who you know has been accused of raping over 20 women.
Right.
You know, is a failed businessman who and a convicted con artist, and somehow. The Republican Party embraced him and put him in the White House, and now is continuing to embrace him. It's beyond breathtaking. It's just beyond breathtaking.
It is. When one man can take us down the way he has by his lawless administration, we have a system that's really, in my opinion, irretrievably broken.
Yeah.
I believe that.
I don't think it's irretrievably broken, but I think it's very close to being on the edge of it. And by the way, I would say that had the Supreme Court not ruled the way they did with Citizens United in 2010, we wouldn't be here right now.
That's true, too.
So,
I don't think they allowed for a Supreme Court that would be that, you know,
that corrupt.
Powerful.
In fact, Jefferson at length, after the Marbury decision in 1803, at length warned against the power of the Supreme Court. Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Carol, I got to move, but
thank you.
Thank you very much. Ken in La Center, Washington. Hey, Ken, what's up?
Good day, brother.
Hey.
I'm wanting to address this issue of people calling us communists because we want progress. And the Republicans, or who I like to call the royalists, I don't think have any idea of history of what happened to communist countries, how they turned communist, because they seem to be promoting the same conditions that led to other countries turning communist.
Well, Russia went from a royal family that was extraordinarily predatory to communism. I mean, you know, is that what you're talking about? Predatory capitalism flips to communism?
When you have a very small minority of wealthy people who hold the power at the top and ignore the wishes of the masses.
Yeah.
And that's what's going, you know, that's where Republicans
are. That's also what happened with, you know, Castro in Cuba taking out Batista, who was insanely corrupt. It's also what happened in Cambodia with Pol Pot, although that was just a cluster. Interesting point, Ken. Interesting point. Thank you very much. So people wonder, why militias all of a sudden? How is it that all kinds of Americans are showing up with assault weapons in the Capitol building trying to assassinate the Vice President of the United States and the Speaker of the House of Representatives and stop the counting of the presidential votes, the Electoral College votes? Where did this come from? You know, the last time we saw an armed uprising against the federal government in the United States was 1861. It was the Confederacy. Is this a Confederacy rising again? Well, yeah, there is a huge white supremacist element to it. In fact, I'd say it's one of the primary animating impulses. But what really got these things going, these militias going, was the Heller decision written by the opinion written by Antonin Scalia and published on June 26, 2008. And it has crazy language in it, basically begging for militias. I share it with you in a special video over at TomHartmann.com. Check it out. And welcome back. Tom Hartmann here with you and Alejandro in Miami. Hey, Alejandro, what's on your mind today?
No, that I wanted to talk about whether Trump could be prosecuted for murder. You know, obviously wanted to give my legal opinion about this.
Thank you. You are an attorney, aren't you, Alejandro?
Yes, a Florida bar attorney. So an interesting You say
and I'm suggesting he should be prosecuted in Florida because there's no federal law against murder.
That is very correct. That is correct under our common law system. Yes, that's mostly under the state's purview, murder cases for the most part, yes, unless it's a serial killer going across state lines. But, you know, I don't think that applies in this case. But, you know, I was considering the argument you made, and of course, it's, and I know you said this on the show, too, it's hard to prosecute a public official because, right, of sovereign immunity and stuff like that. However, I don't think, you know, I mean, your sovereign immunity, in a sense, as a public official, you have some discretion implementing policies, and even if they're bad policies, that doesn't necessarily mean you made a crime. However, I don't think that's a 100% immunity shield. I mean, obviously, if Trump were to kill someone on Fifth Avenue, you know, and they shot him just for no good reason, just, oh, shot somebody, not ordered a drone strike and killed a terrorist, right? That would be more arguably policy, right? But if he just randomly went out the White House when he was still president, shot someone and killed them without any legal justification whatsoever, I think, yes, that would still be called a murder because, you know, that's not within the scope of presidency to go kill people. And, of course, yes, you can try to argue that's the same thing here. It's not letting people die of COVID when you knew otherwise. Like, when you took policies that purposely harmed people, in other words, it wasn't like, oh, I have two bad choices and I have to pick the better of the one choice. No, if he purposely had that intent, like you said many times on the show, that he wanted to hurt minorities versus white people, and then, of course, he knew he was lying because even Bob Woodward, when he did that interview, Trump knew that the coronavirus was not less deadly than the flu. He knew it was five times more deadly than the flu. So he already knew. He was already lying. And I think that, yeah, he knowingly let me look at the statute. So we're... But I want to argue the statute here. But anyway, I think it's, even with all that said, I think, yes, he purposely might have caused all the deaths of people unnecessarily, like, you know, Dr. Burke said. However, it's hard to prove second-degree murder because you still have to show intent. Like, you have to show that he still intended to do that. Like, he had his plan to do that. And so that's what I think that's what's tricky about proving
second-degree murder. Well, let me just read you the statute then, because, you know, this, I think there is a loophole in this. And I'll just read it to you. The unlawful killing of a human being when perpetrated by an act imminently dangerous to another and evincing a depraved mind regardless of human life, although without any premeditated design to affect the death of any particular individual, is murder in the second degree and constitutes a felony of the first degree punishable by imprisonment for a term of years not exceeding life. So,
yeah, I mean, yeah.
You know, it doesn't require premeditation.
No, for sure, right. The second degree, my right. If you try,
I think I'm building a case that there actually was premeditation here.
No, possibly, right. I mean, of course, it's whether how easily you can prove that in court. And I know I just read an article from Dean Obidala. He had an op-ed on this recently, you know, I guess earlier this year, about could Trump be charged with manslaughter over COVID-19? And I think that's what a stronger case is, because manslaughter or, you know, criminal negligence, I think it's a stronger case. It's more realistic because, you know, the three elements. Let me go. Yeah. So like they explained, with, you know, Glenn Kirshner explained it on MSNBC one, that first the three elements of manslaughter is, first, a person is acting in a grossly negligent way when having a duty to act. So of course Trump as president has a duty to not get people killed, right? To act in our best interest in protecting us from the virus.
Right.
So I think that the number one element is satisfied there. Second element is knowing your action or failure is to act is likely to produce death or serious bodily injury. I don't think anyone denies that you let COVID run rampant, that's going to happen. You're going to cause a lot of people to die or go to the hospital because of COVID.
Yep.
And I try to think the third element here. It's tricky doing this one. But yeah, I think that might be a stronger case to do like gross negligence. Like, if you're drunk driving and you hit someone and you kill someone, that would be a gross negligence. That'd be criminal negligence. And I think that can at least be argued with regards to Trump, that he was criminally negligent in pursuing a policy that purposely was going to, you know, hurt people. And maybe it could be argued, yeah, it could be manslaughter, which is actually more intentional. Like when you intentionally do policies that you know are going to kill people, not that you're being negligent in killing people, but you knew you were going
to
do.
Well, I have no problem if he goes to jail for manslaughter. I mean, you know, I'm not wed to second degree murder. I was looking through the Florida criminal statutes, and of course I'm not an attorney, but it looks to me like the second degree murder one was, you know, close enough to be defensible, and so I inserted that. But I'm with you. So Alejandro, bottom line here, I want to pick up another caller here before the end of the hour. Bottom line here is, you think that a criminal prosecution of Trump is possible for the death of these people?
Yeah, possible. We can debate whether the second-degree murder charge is an overcharge, but I think, yes, he can definitely be charged for manslaughter, for voluntary manslaughter.
Well, actually, let me just extend this conversation. You are a Florida attorney. Who yes. would have to bring that charge? Would it be the Palm Beach District Attorney? Would it be the State Attorney General? And what are the chances that any of those people were able to do it?
I think it could be the Palm Beach County, because he's in Palm Beach County. He could bring up charges. I mean, I don't know. The tricky thing is, I don't know if they could charge for people who were not in Florida, right? They could
only right. He'd have to do it on behalf of somebody in Palm Beach who died, right?
Right, something like that, or in yeah. the state of Florida.
Well, I guarantee you there's somebody in Palm Beach who died because of Trump's policies, so maybe. Alejandro, thank you so much. Thanks for the call. Fascinating. And thank you all. My apologies to all the people sitting on hold here. We will continue this conversation tomorrow and throughout the week. And thanks so much for being with us today. Don't forget, democracy is not a spectator sport. It requires all of us, and that includes you. So get out there, get active, tag your it. Have a great afternoon. Be good to yourself and the people around you. Hey, this is a time that we need to be taking care of ourselves and the people that we love. And frankly, we need to be taking care of everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great afternoon.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit TomHartman.com.